Okay. So in this week's parsha, we learn about the king of Klal Yisrael, the mitzvah that are placed upon the king. There are special laws given to a king that are not applicable to every single person in Klal Yisrael. Certain prohibitions and certain obligations. Both. King has special laws. And within those laws, obviously we choose someone that we know is going to keep them. One of the laws that a king has is he is obligated to write a Sefer Torah. That's an obligation. What that Sefer Torah looked like, what size it was, because it says he's supposed to carry it around. Great debate among the people. Great debate. Like some would say it only has the Ten Commandments. Some would say it's like one of these miniatures because it says carry around. Depends what it means. But we're not discussing what that Sefer Torah is. Maybe we'll do it a different time. We're going to discuss a halacha relevant to all Seferim, and we'll see if Seferim are into this. So, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. We discussed Yehuda Chassid in the past. Yehuda Chassid lived, he wrote a living will that became an all-time great, legendary interpretations printed on it. And in that he wrote two svarim. One was the Tzavos Yehuda Chassid, the will of Yehuda Chassid, which has things that are contradictory to open Talmudic laws and open halachas. And at times the explanations was that he was giving a thing for his family because you can't abolish a law. That's for sure not. And then besides that, he had something called Sefer Chassidim. He wrote like different things people had. And a lot of it's in question and answer form. Doesn't mean there really was a question. So it says like this. He has a person who sent him a question regarding Safras. Lo and behold, Safras is, what's the word for Safras in English? A scribe, is that the word? A scribe, the cipher. So the Yehuda Chassid has this question someone asked him. A very simple question, it seems like, but we'll see, it's not as simple as it sounds. And the person sent him the question, he says, among other proofs, but in Parshas Zayis HaBracha, when it discusses the Torah being given to Klal Yisrael, it says like this. The Pasuk says that the Torah was given with its right hand. So this person asked Rabbi Yehuda Chassid this question. Does a Sefer Torah, and therefore mezuzah, and therefore tefillin, possibly, does it have to be written by someone who's a right-handed person, or can it be written by someone who's left-handed? If the Torah was given by someone in a right hand, and now we have someone doing it with a left hand, is that a problem in law? Seems like a very interesting question nobody seems to ask. And he quotes many psukim that imply that Torah is given with a right hand. Now, just because it's given with a right hand, does that have to be written with a right hand? I don't know. That's part of his question. And Rabbi Yehuda Chassid answers that it's a nice idea, but basically, find the guy who writes the best. That's the answer. So the question, do we want right hand or left hand? Find the guy who writes the best. So that's like a vague thing. I mean, it might mean that ideally go right hand or not. Is it anything or nothing? He says, find the guy with the thing. So we're going to show you today a fascinating two halachas in the Shulchan Aruch. I would say we have many approaches to answer the potential contradiction, if there is a contradiction. So in the laws of tefillin, now what we hire a scribe for is tefillin, mezuzah, sefer Torah, God forbid a bill of divorce needs a special idea to it. And we hire these people for these things. The first one that's going to be mentioned, as we said, the Shulchan Aruch is divided into four separate sections. First one's Eruch Chaim, the way of life. The way of life, chapter 32, is on Tefillin. On Tefillin, it is 32:5. Halacha. Shulchan Aruch. Tzarech sheyichtoiv biyaminoi. A man, a sefer, must write with his right hand. The beginning of an interesting conversation. Even if he's ambidextrous, he must write with his right hand. If he writes with his left hand, an ambidextrous guy or a right hand, the guy writes with his left hand, puzzle, it's no good. Here goes a very strange phrase. It is disqualified, but if he can find one written by a guy in his right hand, seems like a contradiction. It's disqualified. If you can find someone with the right who wrote a righty sofer,
then it's acceptable to left.
it's somewhat acceptable. The Mishnah Berurah says, what does it mean? It means, yes, if you have no tefillin to wear, put on the tefillin by the righty, but if you have, if you put it by the lefty, but don't make a blessing. That's how the Mishnah Berurah understands it. Unbelievable. That means that we're gonna when we have nothing left to do, go with the lefty. But basically, it sounds like go with the righty. Then he adds on another detail, which some of you are thinking right here. What about a guy who is a lefty? We're discussing a righty. No, we were discussing a righty or who wrote with his left hand, or a righty who's ambidextrous. That's not even a righty. And what do we do if he wrote with his left hand? What about a straight-up lefty? That's what it meant. So we have to change that. Straight-up lefty. V'im iter yad, a lefty, smol didehu yamin. His left hand is considered his right hand. His dominant hand is a better phrase to put it. So normally, it sounds like a righty must use dominant hand, and an ambidextrous must use the right, but a straight up lefty would be permitted to use. So if you'd ask, go around, and it sounds like at this point in time, you know, fine. Maybe if a righty wrote it with his left hand, you would make a blessing on it. Maybe. Okay, but it is good. Again, you have to know the guy's writing it clearly, because it depends on how good the guy is. If you're a righty and you write with your left hand, odds are it's going to look pretty bad. So you want it to look nice. Okay. That's in the laws of Tefillin. Now we move over to the laws of Sefer Torah. Way later. Sefer Torah says like this. Now here it gave you three options, by the way. A righty, ambidextrous, and a lefty. And it gave permission for a lefty to do it. Here, Sefer Torah says like this. Oh, we're going to get to that. Exactly. Exactly. Yes, we'll get to that in a second. The contradiction of Shulchan Aruch before we get to Kabbalah. Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Sefer Torah, the laws, open laws in Sefer Torah, before we get to Kabbalah, says, Sefer Torah, a Sefer Torah, Tzarech L'Koyisrei B'Yemin. It must be written with a right hand. And that's it. End of the statement. So this becomes the question I'm asking. When it comes to Tefillin, it delineates, that's the word, delineates all the details. A righty must write with his right hand. A lefty, his left hand is his right hand for writing Tefillin. Wait, again, lefty has a whole question. How does he hold the lulav? We're not going through all tonight, but every halacha that says you do it with a right hand, can a lefty do it with his right hand or left hand? That we'll figure out. But by Tefillin, it openly states a lefty's right hand is okay. When it comes to a Sefer Torah, the Shulchan Aruch only starts with the first statement. A person should use, it should be written with a right hand.
Should be or must be?
Tzarech. So that's part of the question. What tzarech means should be or must. What does that mean? What happens not? Why did he leave out an important detail of lefty? If he said it by tefillin, say it here, what's the deal? So there's going to be obviously three approaches here. Right, Michael, you're a lawyer. One is going to be on the side with a shach. 1600 says, yeah, you know, the Torah doesn't have to, you know, write everything out every time. Obviously, when it comes to Sefer Torah, look over there. It's the same law. Why should it be different? That would be the first approach. That means the same way by Tefillin it says, should be written with a right hand, a lefty is good enough. Not even good enough, a lefty is a righty. A lefty with his left hand is a righty. Just like it says by Tefillin, it means it over here as well. But that's not the Shulchan Aruch. That would be one approach. So that means just match them up. As we say in the Talmud all the time, Aniim b'makom echad, rashim b'makom acher. The Torah sometimes is stingy in some place, it's poor in words, and it's rich somewhere else. And you combine it. You know what? You can't read one thing. You got to read a lot. You know, as we said a couple weeks ago, it takes years to know you're ignorant. You think you're ignorant? You don't even know how ignorant you are. But let me tell you right now, you are ignorant. Everything. We're all ignorant. That's the beauty of it. So what you got to do is the same thing here. So we have the law over there. The law over there says lefties are allowed. Doesn't say it here because you should know it over there. That's one approach.
Michael, a question from Michael Bodenline. Two questions. You have the same question regarding putting on tefillin. Are you putting on the right?
Excellent question.
Two questions. What about the avoda in the base of mikdash?
We're not going to get to that. Good. Also, let's go to his first question. It's relevant to us. We know if you are a righty, unless most people are, I think statistically, most people righty put that tefillin on the left hand. Why? Why would you put tefillin on the left hand if you're a righty?
So you can control it better. You can actually.
That is one of the approaches. The Talmud has an argument. The Talmud has an argument in the Pasuk of Shema. The Talmud has three approaches on why we use the left hand. One is, as he just said, it says to put yadcha, and the yadcha means it could be interpreted as the weaker hand. Not in the Talmud. The weaker hand. Since most people's weaker hand are the left hand, put the tefillin on your left hand. Okay. The other approach is what Charles just said, that it says ukeshartem, ukesavtem, in the what you say in Shema every day, you shall tie the tefillin on your hand, and you shall write a mezuzah. So it says it puts it together. Why did Torah put together writing a mezuzah and tying tefillin like that? Maybe you should have writing a mezuzah and writing tefillin. That would have made more sense. When you say Shema every day, what do you say? You should put the tefillin on your hand and write a mezuzah. I don't know. You should say what you could have said is, write the tefillin and write mezuzah, or place the tefillin on your hand and place the mezuzah on the doorpost. No, it doesn't say that. It says place the tefillin on it. It's tie, really. Tie the tefillin and write the mezuzah. But that's not exactly
parallel.
Good word. So Talmud said, yeah, because it's trying to teach you something. The same way that people write with the right hand, majority, therefore you should tie with your right hand. So you cannot, unless you're extremely in a circus, it would be very impressive to put the tefillin and tie with the same hand. I don't know if it's even possible. But I mean, the Talmud's understanding is really not possible. To really tie it and put it on would be impossible. So since the Torah is telling us that it puts together writing and tying, so since writing most of the time, because it doesn't say write with your right hand, it says write. Oh, right means right hand. Most people, right is right. Right makes right. So when right makes right, tie makes right. Tie makes right. Put your tefillin on your left hand. So an argument now. Why you put tefillin on your left hand? Do you put tefillin on your hand on your left hand because the idea is really you don't need tefillin on your left hand. You have to tie it with your right hand. What's the main thing here? Like Michael wanted to say, put the tefillin on the left hand that's near your heart. That would be a heart tefillin, place your tefillin issue. Or do you look at the lumdus, and I don't know if the lumdus is in English, that word, but the fundamental of how you look at it is that, no, I don't care where the left hand tefillin is, I care where you're going to tie. Because you want to use your right hand to tie. Because the tying with your right hand is an important feature. So by tefillin, you can look at it two ways. Tefillin on your left hand, or write it with your right hand. Some want to say the practical difference is going to be a lefty. Because if it's placing on your left hand, there is an approach to say everyone places on the left hand. Why not? If the whole idea is placing next to his left hand, Michael's saying he has a heart. His wife questions it. Michael says he has a heart, place it next to his left side. So it's about the placing of the box. So the placing box is lefty. Who cares you're already lefty? Why does that do anything? Because we don't care about the tying secondary. The main thing is where you put your tefillin. Put your tefillin on your left hand. And therefore, lefties to put on the left hand. And as the sofa here, I don't know his name, said, there is Al pi kabbalah, I don't know who does it practically, but there are some people who believe that lefties should put their tefillin on their right hand, which is what most lefties do, but they should get a second pair. I'm not adding those words second pair because that's money, but should maybe have tefillin as well on the left hand. So they'll do the whole davening with tefillin on their right hand because that's really how it sounds. But you know what? There is a theory in the Gemara that says it's about placing, and maybe the word placing doesn't make a difference right and left. You know what? Do it. Just like many people put on a bit Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, there would be a movement to put on lefty tefillin. Ask the sofer here if actually people do it, I have no idea. Like 90%, you put your tefillin on your right hand. Al pi kabbalah. Now, al pi kabbalah means the Kaf HaChayim, that Sfaradi lineage where he writes the Mishnah Berurah for Sfaradim, if I can use such words. He writes it. He said people do it. But that's only if you're going to learn that the tefillin should be on your left hand. But if it's going based on the tying of it, because the tying is based on the writing, then wait a second. The writing is based on most people. Rashi says those words. When it says writing, Rashi says most people write with the right hand. Therefore, most people should tie with their right hand. But if you're from the lefties, then why would you write with your right hand? You wouldn't. Unless you're ambidextrous. We're not discussing that. If you're a lefty, then why you're a lefty? How do you know you're a lefty? Because you're right, you're left hand. Otherwise, I mean, it could be you play ball.
Dominant.
That's your dominant. But why you? But when you say dominant, most of the time you're thinking is because you're right. Most people, when you discuss a person, by the way, what makes a guy right or left is based on what he writes. That's usually how it goes. So the question becomes now, since the Gemara says, according to that approach, the reason why we put the tefillin on the left hand is because we want to tie it with the right hand. Why? Because most people write with their right hand, and therefore most people should tie with the right hand. Most people, there's not all people. Therefore, people who write with their left hand would tie with the left hand. Tosfos is so serious about this. Tosfos says, wait a second. Let's say a guy who does write with his left hand, but does everything else with his right hand. How important is the writing compared to everything else? So let's say, as Michael's saying, plays first base as a righty, swings right, righty and a dominant hand except for writing, which, by the way, there are people like that. Do you go bust of what's considered the dominant hand, or do you go bust of the writing? Because the Talmud says writing. So Tosfos asked this question. We're not going to the ambidextrous tonight. We're just saying like this. Let's start over. We have a contradiction in what, not contradiction, we have a question on the Shulchan Aruch 1500s. When it came to tefillin, he said, use your right hand. And by the way, if you're a lefty, you could use your left hand to write the tefillin. Use your right hand, a lefty's a lefty. Sounds great. We love lefties, they're equal. But when it comes to Shulchan Aruch, the same author, about 500 pages later, more, when he's talking about writing a Sefer Torah, he only says, write it with your right hand. Wait a second, what does that mean? What are we talking about here? What does it mean? What are lefties? Why not telling us about lefties? So the first answer is, let's delve into the lefties. Let's figure out the lefties and figure out how it applies here. So the first approach is going to be, let's look at why we go back to lefties by tefillin. what's going on. Now, we're not talking about writing, but we're talking about sort of writing. So by tefillin, we said that when it comes to an actual lefty, there is a potential, the Gemara doesn't say it openly, rabbis later on say there's a potential difference in why we put it on our left hand. We gave two different reasons. One is put the tefillin on the left hand. Michael adds on because near your heart. So really it's about the putting there, which would mean a lefty as well would put it there. Or we said, oh, you're putting it there because you want to tie it with your right hand. Tie with the right hand, write with your right hand. The lefty would write with his left hand, and that's why it would make sense for a lefty to do lefty. But it could be there are some people who hold that, wait a second, no. Lefty should put on left hand. Does this entire conversation apply to a Sefer Torah? Maybe not. Because only when we're talking about the word tie next to the word mezuzah of writing could we potentially have a conversation about what we do with lefties. But Sefer Torah doesn't discuss lefties at all. Which might mean the reason why it says your right hand only is because lefties are out. Because you know what? We don't have an option for lefties. The reason we're going to allow a lefty to write the tefillin is because you know why? Because when it talks about writing and talks about tefillin, it mentions lefties. But that might not apply to Sefer Torah, where there's no pasuk putting tefillin, Sefer Torah, and mezuzah together.
Tefillin, there's actually open case discussion of how it's going to be
tied
for
tied,
and then yeah,
that we can extrapolate the writing will be tied. Will be true play on word. The writing will be tied into the tying. We can start doing that since most people write with the right. Most people tie with the right. Some people write with the left. They tie with the left. But writing and tying might go together. Sefer Torah doesn't have any tying, so there's no idea. Potentially, you could say, with a major stringency, a potential stringency to say, when it comes to Sefer Torah, no way. Some do the opposite approach. They say it's literally the opposite. The only discussion by lefties is because we want to know when the Talmud says right, left, right with your right with your left, put it on your left because it's near your heart, we can discuss. For everywhere else, who cares? And therefore, it's only telling us this law, what Charles hinted at before, when it says that Sefer Torah should be written with your right hand, it's like an extra nice thing to do. But nobody really cares. Nobody really cares so far, so far to say that even a righty can write with his left hand. We were discussing until now a righty and a lefty. We said, but a righty writing with his left hand, that's come on, that's out of the game. Well, why would you do that? But it could, and we're saying that. We have two ways to learn Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah could be lefties for sure, nothing to discuss, or it could be no way, because the whole thing of writing right hand is only a nice idea. But then lefties for sure. Or we're saying, no, lefties have no leniency because they don't write with the, not tied into writing. So it would come out right now, we have two major potential stringencies. We have a potential stringency that the rabbi just said here, al pi kabbalah, when it comes to tefillin, that even a lefty might have a stringency, al pi kabbalah, to place tefillin on his left hand like the rest of the world, the majority of the world. That means even though righties have it easy, lefties know what they're doing, there might be a stringency and no reason to take on new stringencies. What we're holding, just for the record. That would be by a potential stringency. The second potential stringency would be that when it comes to a Sefer Torah, we might not even allow a lefty, which means you have a safe, impossible to say that mezuzah and tefillin will come up, that a lefty scribe, a lefty sofer will come up with ways to figure it out. But, and the Shulchan Aruch openly says a lefty can do it. But he doesn't say it by Sefer Torah. For the strict, you can go strict to say because a lefty is not qualified to write a Sefer Torah, according to some. That would be a major stringency on a Sefer Torah. Anyway, we're going to stop here, but we should always starting a major sugya. I thought it was a little interesting idea of to know what, that this. Now, by the way, I only found one other place where the Shulchan Aruch quotes using a right hand. And he says the word ideally. Here he says, Sarah, ideally, when it comes to writing a bill of divorce, use your right hand. Very interesting. So we have, anyway, we thank everyone for coming. It was a good, I think it was the beginning of a good class. We could do a few more on these. I don't know if we will.